Velkommen til denne udsendelse fra Troens Ord. Lyt med og vær velsignet.
Father, we thank you because your word says, ask and it shall be given unto you. Seek and ye shall find. Knock and it shall be opened unto you. And we thank you because we live by your word. We know that when you say something, it is already done. Thank you, there is power in your word. Power to create. Power to bring forth things in our life that are not. Thank you because at your word, miracles take place. And thank you this morning, God, we stand by your word. Because you are behind your word. Our hope is in you. Our trust is in you. We depend upon you. So this morning, we thank you for your word. Speak into our lives. What we ask in Jesus' name. Amen. I want to read a few scriptures from Habakkuk. Habakkuk is one of the minor prophets. During the time of Josiah, who was the 16th king of Judah, King Amon, and Jehoahaz. And it's important to understand that the prophets knew what was coming. But Habakkuk writes like this. If you turn to Habakkuk chapter 3, in verse 17, he said, though the fig tree may not blossom, nor fruit be on the vines, though the labor of the olive tree may fail, and the fields yield no food, though the flock may be cut off from the fold, and there be no herd in the stalls, yet I will rejoice in the Lord, I will joy in the God of my salvation. The Lord God is my strength. He will make my feet like deer's feet, and he will make me walk on my high hills. Whatever be challenges we go through in our lives, whatever our circumstances around the world, it's very important that we understand that we as God's people, we live by faith. Hebrews 10:38, the Bible says, the just shall live by faith. And here you see a declaration of faith about even when everything is not okay, even if there is no fruit on the fig tree, or it's not growing, or there is no fruit in the vine, or if the olive tree will fail, and the fields will yield no food, though the flock may be cut off from the fold, and there be no herd in the stalls. Look at the declaration of the prophet over a nation. He says, yet I will rejoice in the Lord. I will joy in the God of my salvation. One of the important things for us as God's children is to understand that our joy does not come from what is outside us. Our joy comes because of who Christ is inside of us. That joy is the strength of our lives. You know, when Jesus talked about peace, he said, my peace I give unto you, not as the world gives. The Bible says the joy of the Lord is our strength. If you want to be strong in your life, in the midst of all challenges, then we need to learn to depend on who Christ is on the inside of us. It's very important that we keep our eyes on him. It's very important that we keep our eyes on who he is in our lives. And here the prophet writes, the Lord God is my strength. He says, you and I need to understand that. The prophet says, though this is not okay, or there can be many other things. He says, for me, the joy of the Lord is my strength. It's talking about strength. If you and I need to be strong, we need to put our strength in who Christ is on the inside of us. Interestingly, that's how our God is. If you look at Psalms chapter 2, look at how God is, how the psalmist writes here. He says, why, verse 1, why do the nations rage and the people plot a vain thing. What is the circumstance? Nations are raging. People are doing all kinds of things. That's the situation. And the psalmist goes on to say, the kings of the earth set themselves and the rulers take counsel together against the Lord and against his anointed. Meaning everything is coming against the kingdom of God. Things are coming against God's anointed. As long as we are in the earth, there can be many challenges around us. If you are an anointed person, there will be things that will come against you. And then the Bible says, what is coming? Verse 3, the Bible says, this is the word that's coming. Let us break their bonds in pieces and cast away their cords from us. Things can come against us to break us. Things can come against us to break everything in our lives when we are anointed. But who is our God? What is he doing? The Bible says, he who sits in the heavens shall laugh. The Lord shall hold them in derision. What is God doing? God is laughing when he's sitting at the throne and seeing what is going on in the earth. Even when everybody is going against him and his anointed, God is laughing. Hallelujah. In Psalms 59 and in verse 8, the Bible says that in the midst of everything, the psalmist says, but you, O Lord, shall laugh at them. Who are these people? Verse 1 and 2. Deliver me from my enemies, O my God. Defend me from those who rise up against me. Deliver me from the workers of iniquity and save me from bloodthirsty men. David is going through a tough time in his life. In the midst of that, David says, but you, O Lord, shall laugh at them. I want you to know this morning, God is laughing at every challenge you're walking through, everything that's coming against you. God is laughing at it. Why? Because they don't have power over our lives. Here in Habakkuk, he says, in verse 19, the Lord God is my strength. He will make my feet like deer's feet, and he will make me walk on my high heels. What is God willing to do for us? He wants our feet to be like a deer's feet. In the midst of all challenges, he wants you to be running. He wants you to be active. He wants you to be, you know, like a deer. He wants you to be running. And the Bible says he will make me walk on my high hills. Meaning there are dimensions of God with which God wants me to walk in my challenging times. I want you to know this morning, your God is a God of miracles. In Luke chapter 7, there's an interesting situation about two groups of people, one weeping and crying because of something that had happened. A young man had died, and the mother, who's a widow, is weeping and crying, and they are on the way to bury the dead. So it talks about a real situation in the natural of death, of grieving, of tears, and hopelessness. That's in the natural. But there's also something else that's happening there. There's another group of people. They're coming into the city of Nain. And in that group, the atmosphere is different. The atmosphere is different because Jesus is walking. So there is an atmosphere of expectancy. They're ready to see what God is going to do in this city. What is he going to surprise me with? How are we going to experience the power of God? There is an atmosphere of expectancy because Jesus is walking into the city. Are you with me? One of the important things in our life is to understand under what camp we want to keep ourselves. There can be challenges in our natural life. But in the spiritual, if you are aware of Christ in your life, if you are aware of who He is in your life, if you are aware that He is walking with you every day, if you are aware of God's presence over your life, there is always an expectancy that God will do something. Are you with me? In the natural, we can go through many things. But in the spiritual, the Bible says God lives in us, with us, and upon us in John 14. And if we understand that, then we know God is walking with us wherever we go. God is with us all the time. And when we understand that God is with us all the time, then we also know this, that it is an atmosphere of an expectancy. It's an atmosphere where we can experience something beyond the natural. It's an atmosphere that God can do something that nobody else can do. That something impossible can happen in that moment because of God's presence. Last week, I was in Malaysia. And when we came into the church, you know, we just saw the presence of God and that anointing of the Holy Spirit work in the life of a person who had been broken down in the natural and had been really down for about 15 months. But we saw that the anointing did a miracle inside of him where things that held him for 15 months began to crumble down by the precious anointing of the Holy Spirit. And something happened to him in the natural because of what God was doing in the spiritual. Are you with me, church? We can go through things in the natural. But when we become aware of what God is doing in the spiritual will overrule what is in the natural. Our flesh wants to do something. Wants to speak something. It wants to put something over us. Our mind, our will, our emotions. You know, they want to have something to do with us. But Paul writes in Galatians 5 and verse 16, walk in the Spirit and you will not fulfill the lust of the flesh. And he says the Spirit lusts against the flesh and the flesh lusts against the Spirit. That you do not do what you are able to do. You know, sometimes our mind and our will and our emotions, they try to have an impact over our lives and try to define our lives. But for us who are God's children, when we walk after the Spirit of God, then we do not allow the flesh to fulfill what it wants to accomplish in us. Are you with me? God never told us to resist the flesh. He told us to resist the devil. He told us to crucify our flesh. He told us that our flesh must be on the cross. In Luke chapter 9 and 23, he said, if any man desires to follow me, let him deny himself. The way we crucify our flesh is by denying ourselves of what, you know, this flesh is trying to tell us. The enemy uses things to come to us, to attack us, to define our mind. But we can rebuke the enemy. We can resist the devil. The Bible says, resist the devil and he will flee from you. Paul in Galatians 2:20 says, I am crucified with Christ. I am crucified with Christ. Galatians 2:20. It is no longer I who live. Meaning he says, you know, I put myself on the cross so that he can do what he wants in my life. When he begins to do something, then I live being led by his Spirit and not by the dictates of my flesh. Here you see in the natural, it's a place of brokenness. It's a place where there is hopelessness. You're seeing a man taken to be buried. He's dead and gone. It's over. There can be situations in our life where things are dead and gone. Or you may feel, you know, this is over in my life. Or maybe there are things that we feel hopeless in our life. But when we step into the things of God, When we step along with Jesus, when we come under His anointing, allow Him to be who He is in our life, then we are ready for a miracle. We're ready for something impossible that God can do. We can experience His healing power. We can experience His breakthrough. We can experience something impossible that only God can do. We can experience it in our lives. So the Bible says in verse 12, and when he came near the gate of the city, behold, a dead man was being carried out, and the only son of his mother, and she was a widow, and a large crowd from the city was with her. When the Lord saw her, he had compassion on her and said to her, do not weep. I'm always amazed at the words of Jesus. He had compassion on her and said to her, do not weep. You know, sometimes we can be in a place where saying, God, what do you mean by saying don't weep? You know, sometimes, you know, when Jesus speaks to us, somehow it looks like it's not relevant to what we are going through. In Mark chapter 5, he told Jairus, do not be afraid, only believe. But what is the situation? Jairus' daughter was dead. Here, God is saying, don't weep. But Lord, I am finished. It's over. All I can do is weep. But I want you to know something. Whenever the Lord says something into your life, He is behind His word. He has a reason to say what He says. Because He has a plan behind what He says. Can I say it one more time? Whenever God speaks to you, it's very important to understand that He is behind His word. It's not about the word. It's about the one who's behind the word. It's one thing for me to say to you, don't weep. But it's totally another thing when God says to you, don't weep. Come on, church, are you with me this morning? I want you to get it in your heart. It's one thing when people tell us something, but it's another thing when God says something to you. Because He is behind His word. He tells this woman, do not weep. Why? Because behind His word, He is there. He has a plan. And He's ready to do something. And He can even do that which is impossible in our lives. I want you to know this morning, there can be things that break us down in our life. There can be things that causes us to shed tears from our eyes. And I want you to also know this morning, it's not wrong to cry. It's not wrong to cry. Sometimes we men find it even more difficult to cry. Or sometimes we want to put up this front that I'm a man. The Bible says, a broken heart, He will never despise. A broken heart. When God sees that our heart is broken, I think it's in Psalm 51. The Bible says, 51:17, the sacrifices of God are a broken spirit. A broken and a contrite heart, O God, you will not despise. Psalm 51 and verse 17. Is it right? Psalm 147:3. 147 and verse 3. 147 and verse 3. He heals the brokenhearted and binds up their wounds. Isaiah 61. The Spirit of the Lord God is upon me because the Lord has anointed me to bring good news to the poor. He has sent me to bind up the brokenhearted. 61 verse 1. David knew that. David knew that if he was broken before God, God will come down for him. God will reach out to him. He knew God will have compassion on the one whose heart is broken before him. Hallelujah. The Bible says when Mary and Martha wept, Jesus also wept. Amen. tears come because our heart is broken. The Bible says Jesus was heard because of his vehement cries and tears unto him who was able to save. When Jesus prayed, he was broken before the Father. Tears in his eyes. The Bible says in Luke, when Jesus looked at Jerusalem, he wept over. I want you to know this morning, whatever be the challenge we walk through, God is able to do a miracle for us. So he said to her, "Do not weep." Then he came and touched the open coffin, and those who carried him stood still. Verse 14. And he said, "Young man, I say to you, arise." Jesus said, "Young man, I say to you, arise." Reached out his hand and touched him. I always like to see with my eyes of faith how it would have been. Isn't it interesting? A young man is dead, and Jesus is putting his hands on that body. And then he speaks life into that body. He says, "Young man, live." And the Bible says, immediately he sat up. Immediately he sat up. And that very atmosphere of tears and pain and agony turned into an atmosphere of celebration and joy. Hallelujah. Just one touch. That's why sometimes when we are in prayer, we say to God, "Lord, Lord, touch me. Touch me." Why do we ask him to touch? Because we know when he touches us, there is a word. There's a word from heaven. Where his presence is, there is a word. Where his the anointing is, there is a word. And that word will bring to life what is dead around us. Hallelujah. That's why we need the word of God. That's why we need the voice of God. That's why we need a word from the Spirit of God. And that word will trust. This morning, God's word is over us. God's word is over us. Habakkuk says, "The fig tree may fail. There may be no fruit on the vine. The olive tree may fail. There may be no foal in the stall." But he says, I will rejoice in the Lord. My strength is in the Lord. My hope is in the Lord. The psalmist said, "I will lift up my eyes to the hills. From whence cometh my help? My help comes from the Lord." David was a warrior. David was a king. As the king of a nation, when he went to war, he knew his opponents, their most important target was him. If they killed the king, they got the kingdom. Everyone's arrow was to finish him. In the wars of the old, if the king comes down, the nation comes down. He knew that. But he said like this, "My help comes from the Lord." I want to tell you this morning, you would say in your heart, "I want you to become my help, Lord. I want to depend on you. I want to trust you. I want to hold on to you. I want to put my life on you. Jesus, I want you to become everything for me. Yes, I have challenges. Yes, I have situations. Yes, there are things that need to happen in my life. Maybe there is no hope. Maybe there is a door that's locked before you. And maybe you're looking for a way to step into what God has for you. Maybe you're in a place where you feel you're stuck. You feel like you're not able to move forward. Or you take one step forward and you feel like you're 10 steps behind. Doesn't matter. Doesn't matter what your situation is. If you would say to God, "I want you to become everything, God. Your voice over my life. What you speak to me. I want you to become everything. I want to follow after you. I want you to become everything for me." And I want to tell you something. The impossible will become possible in your life. The impossible will become possible in your life. Sometimes you might even say, "Pastor, but I've been on this road for a long time. I walked this road for a long time. It's been on me for a long time." I want to tell you this morning, doesn't matter how long you walked on the road, but our God is a God of miracles. This morning, would you close your eyes for one moment? And would you say to God this morning, "Father, I want you to become everything for me. Jesus, You're a God of miracles. I want you to be the God who will perform a miracle for me. That might be a sickness in your body. That might be a challenge you're walking through. Maybe you're standing in the front of a closed door and you don't know how to open the door. Maybe there are questions about your future. Whatever be it this morning, the Lord is here this morning. Would you grab him this morning? By faith, would you get a hold of him and say to him, Jesus, you are everything to me. You're the answer to my life. You're the answer to all my circumstances. I want you to do a miracle for me. I want you to become everything to me. I want to tell you this morning, the hand of the Lord upon your life will bring miracles. Sicknesses will disappear. Challenges in your life will disappear. He'll make a way where there seems to be no way. There was a paralytic man who could not even carry himself. He'd always seen people normally walking around him. But he felt so abnormal. He could not even help himself. But I want you to know, that man's life changed because his friends had faith for him. I want to tell you something. Maybe there's somebody whom you know. They're walking through a tough time. Maybe they don't know what to do. You can stand in the gap for them. You can say to God, this morning, God, I stand for my friend. I stand for my family. I stand for my son and my daughter. Maybe you're saying, God, my husband is having problems. My wife is going through problems. This morning, you can stand in the gap for them. Say to God, you're the answer to my family. The answer to my children. You're the answer to my spouse. You're the answer to my friend. I want to stand in the gap, Lord. I want to believe you for a miracle this morning. And I want to tell you this morning, faith is now. Faith is not tomorrow. Faith is believing in God now. If you would believe in God now for a miracle, God is able to do a miracle right now. So as your eyes are closed, would you lift up your situation before God? Right now, He's here to bring a miracle for you. Rebalahando rubo koraba shorabo. Rebalahando rubo reakaraba sataraba. Reba baba baba na sotorobo. Come on, just open your mouth and pray. Lift your voice to Him. Jesus is the answer, my friend. He's the answer. He's the answer. There's no other one who can help us like He can. Nobody can do miracles for us like He can. Nobody can come into areas in our lives that He can. He can do the impossible for us. Hallelujah, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah, Jesus. Jesus, Jesus, we lift your name this morning, God. Like David, we want to say this morning, my help comes from the Lord. My miracle comes from the Lord. My answer comes from the Lord. And I this morning trust in Jesus. I trust in your word. If you can do a miracle on that city of Nain, you can do a miracle for me this morning. The Bible says He is the same yesterday, today, and forever. Yesterday, if He could do that in the city of Nain, He can do it for us today. And forever He can do it in the future. Father, we receive our miracle this morning. We receive our healing. We receive our breakthrough. We receive a miracle for our lives. In the name of Jesus. Come on, open your mouth and say, Jesus. 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 I receive my miracle. Come on, open your mouth and say, Jesus. I receive my miracle. You are my God. With you all things are possible. I receive my miracle. I receive my miracle. Father, thank you this morning that you are here in the midst of us by the mighty power of your Holy Spirit. And right now I know that you are doing miracles in the midst of us. All things shall pass away. All things shall become new. We receive your miracle. We receive joy unspeakable, full of glory. Receive your peace in our hearts. Thank you this morning, God. Thank you this morning, God. We make you everything in our lives. We make you everything in our lives. We give you the glory. We give you the glory. Come on, church. Would you stand up to your feet as we pray and finish? Hallelujah. Father, we thank you this morning, God. Thank you that you're a God of miracles. Thank you that, Lord, you have a great plan for us. Plan for our lives, our homes, Lord, our workplaces. We pray for every person in the church this morning and for those who could not be here this morning. We speak your blessing, God. We pray for every member of our church. God's mighty hand of blessing will come upon them. Father, I pray breakthroughs will come. Miracles will come. Healings will come. Thank you that, Lord, your hand is stretched forth upon us. This morning, we thank you for Toe and Soul. Thank you for keeping us together as a family. Thank you that you walk in before us. Thank you that you lead us into our future. We thank you that this morning we are sons and daughters of the living God. Thank you, Jesus. This morning we pray for Denmark. We pray for God's mighty hand upon Denmark. We pray for the Prime Minister, the members of the Parliament, all the decision makers, leaders of this nation. We lift them before your throne of grace. We pray, O God, that you would be merciful, that you would stretch forth your hand upon them, that you would bless them, protect them, give them wisdom and understanding to lead our nation in the right way. Thank you for peace in Denmark. Thank you for revival in Denmark. We apply the blood of Jesus all over Denmark. Pray for divine protection from heaven over Denmark. This morning we pray for the Queen and the royal family. That Lord, your hand of blessing will come upon our Queen and the royal family. Fill them with your Holy Spirit. Let your hand of blessing rest upon them. We pray for the war in the Middle East. We pray for your hand upon Israel. We pray that, Lord, soon the war will come to an end. And Father, we pray all evil will be exposed and a season of peace will come upon the Middle East. In Jesus' mighty name. In Jesus' mighty name. We also pray for the war in Ukraine. I pray that the war will completely stop and a new season will come over Ukraine. This morning we lift up our lives before you, Lord. We pray that you'll continue to lead us and guide us. Pray that you'll lead us throughout this coming week and in the weeks and months ahead. One more time. This morning, Jesus, we thank you that you are everything to us. We commit ourselves into your mighty hands. In Jesus' mighty name we pray. Amen. Amen. Now may the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God the Father, the fellowship of the Holy Spirit, rest and abide with all of us. Go in the peace of God. The Lord is with you. And he's a God of miracles. The Lord who is with you is a God of miracles. Amen. Come on, somebody say hallelujah. 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 Amen.
Tak fordi du lyttede med til denne udsendelse fra Troens Ord. For mere information og for at kontakte os, gå til www.troensord.dk.